Hey guys, we're live from Huntsville, Alabama. Stand by.
Welcome to a special edition of the Rusty Hook Podcast, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. 1 hour of straight talk regarding tournament news, angler profiles, gear reviews, and more. Now let's get our show started by joining with John Rapp, our host.
Hey guys, John Rapp here, sitting here at the house that my boys set up for us as we come down to fish the Ambassador Series that KBF is sponsoring and putting together this year. Kyle Struther organized, got this all set up for us, got the house, made arrangements for our sponsorship. So, we fed him some good hot chili tonight. So, if you hear anything on the outside of the broadcast, just ignore it. Because, you know, stuff like that happens when you eat good chili. But, hey, we got Jerry Spraling here. Let's bring these fellas to the camera. Welcome to the show, fellas.
Howdy. Thanks.
Okay, this guy's to the left in that pretty blue shirt is Kyle Struther. And that big, tall, lanky fella to the right, that WKA shirt. I actually can't tell how tall he is right now because he's sitting. But that's Jerry Spraling.
Hi, folks.
So, guys, talk a little bit about what's going on, what we're into, and what we plan to do the next few days.
Well, I hope we plan on catching some bass. That hasn't worked out for us so far. We've only got, I've got about 4 hours in the water so far. I've been working since I've got down here, but I managed to get out for a few hours every day. Jerry's probably got the most time on the water so far. What are you experiencing out there? What's the conditions like for you?
Wind. You know, and of all the times to not have my spot locked, I got my new trolling motor, got it all installed and everything, took it out for a trial run up home on a small lake, and spot lock is not working. So, having to deal with wind, I told these guys down here, I said, I'd like to fish one tournament this year that I don't get blown off the water. But right now, it's not looking promising. But the fish are biting. I think I caught six yesterday, but I only caught one today. I tried out a different place today. The water was well stained. And like I say, you couldn't stay on spot long enough to fish it right. But temperature's not cooperating either. It's kind of cold.
That's the truth. So. It's definitely not. It feels like West Virginia weather that we left.
Yeah, I think it was, like 30 degrees this morning when we woke up.
It was definitely 30 when we woke up. When I come off the water, it was only 47. So
yeah,
it's chilly.
The coldest it was here when I was here for the Bassmaster event a couple weekends ago. It got into the low 40s overnight, and over that weekend, those 2 days, it got up to the high 60s and the 70s. The water temps where I was fishing got up into 60 degree mark. So it has dropped a lot since then. The place that I went to today, it was 52 in some spots, 53. The highest I saw was 54. Did you say what temps you saw?
I had 54 today.
Okay. Yeah, so probably finding that little bit warmer water is probably going to be the key. But you never know. This place is all about going to your different spots, checking out your spots. That's
the right time.
Yeah. You gotta eliminate some water. You have to find out what you're comfortable fishing, and then find a spot that looks good to you, and doing your best with that spot. So I went to a couple spots so far that's just they didn't look quite what I'm looking for yet. They don't have as much grass as I want, and the water temps are a little bit low, and there's no real good staging area in the spawning areas. So I'm looking for a place where the bass can be going up shallow, and there've already been some spawning. So they're also in the post-spawn phase as well. So with this cold front coming in, you got to find one of those spots where they can just bunch up going in and out of the spawning areas.
So Kyle, tell us a little bit about the equipment that you use.
Yeah, so this year I am in a Feel Free Dorado, thanks to Jerry. He hooked me up with a couple of them. So it's a big adjustment going from that Dorado from the Feel Free Lure. I was running a Feel Free Lure 11.5, and I was in that thing for almost 10 years. So I was very comfortable with what I used to call our old war pig.
Oh,
it's got all kinds of battle scars. I've patched her up so many times. I've almost sunk her twice. But, yeah, I still got her. She's going to go down the river with me and some other trips when I need that lighter kayak. But this Dorado, it's so stable. I don't have to worry about the waves. When I was on the Bassmaster event, there was some gusts of winds, like 20 to 30 miles an hour, that came across the lake. Just blew up my spot. But it was a little sketchy riding it. If I was in my lure, I probably would have ducked out. But in that Dorado, I just backpedaled a little bit, managed it. Even put the power pole down, so I've got a power pole micro anchor, and that helped a lot too. But I feel safe and comfortable in that Dorado. It's big.
So you got the Dorado, you've got a power pole. Any other accessories that you use to help your time on the water be more enjoyable? Man.
Well, what makes it really enjoyable is that Lowrance Elite TI 2 9-inch. I do rely on it a lot. You know, I used to not rely on electronics a whole lot, but now you got to use them. You got to learn to use them. There's so many different opportunities that come up just from using your graphs. Like the other day at the Bassmaster event, I keep going back to it, but I ended up finding these giant patches of hydrilla that were just this beautiful fresh green, and you could see the bass in it. And you can drop straight down on them and catch them. And that's how I caught a couple of kickers that way.
Nice.
But you can really, like, pinpoint those areas and those transition areas where you're looking for those post-spawn, pre-spawn fish. The easiest way to find those and save time is to use your graph.
Jerry, what about you, buddy? What are you doing this year?
I sold him the Dorados, and I got myself the V2 Dorado. And I love it. I mean, it's the battery box that made the huge difference for me. Being able to take the batteries out to charge and bring them in the house and not have to worry about running 100 feet extension cord when you come to a place like this, just bring it inside. I went with the Garmin LiveScope, the 34 Plus. I put a 12-inch graph on.
LiveScope in it.
Yeah, live scope.
Get cheater.
Yes, so they say. But not being able to hold a spot, I left my anchor at the house too. And it's hard to use not being able to hold a spot because of just the drift and hard to keep an image on it. But I did get to use it a little bit yesterday, overrun a couple of docks and stuff. But it's going to be a game changer, I think.
So how are you using the unit?
I got the pole. Josh Poling, he had the live scope on his, and when he got rid of it, he kept the transducer pole for the live scope transducer.
Nice.
And you can aim it wherever. The kayak doesn't have to be pointed because it's not on the motor or whatever. You just aim it wherever you want.
So you got it rigged off to the left side of your.
It's on the right side because the eight-ball steering pin on the left side. I put it on the right side.
Okay.
I don't have my rudder mounted yet because I'm using a Minkota power drive with the spot lock. Well, minus the spot lock this week. But I'm seriously thinking about going ahead and mounting the rudder just for added stability in the wind. I mean, I think it'll keep it straighter. And even if, like, working a bank, I think you can use that rudder and the motor and position the kayak to where if you just want to leave it locked on, say, at 2 mile an hour or whatever, and fish a bank, it'll keep the kayak in position even in the wind.
That's a sneaky thing you can do with the power pole, is you can drop that power pole down, and it catches enough water if you're deep enough.
Oh, okay.
Or even if there's, like, a little bit of grass or you're just barely taking the bottom, slow you down just enough on that trip.
Keep it back in where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big guy. When the wind's blowing, I'm just a big sail.
Yeah.
And I carry 10 rods, so you wouldn't believe how much wind 10 rods catch. You wouldn't think that they would just being as small as they are, but once the wind starts blowing.
They were singing out there today,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the line on them sings to you.
Yeah.
So with your live scope, are you seeing fish with it right now down here?
Well, I did around the docks, like I said, but I didn't even put it in the mount today. I just used the downstand and was finding the grass on the bottom because the fish I saw today, they weren't up on the bank. They were in 3-4 feet of water. The fish I did catch today, it was on a moving bait. Yesterday, all the fish I caught was on plastics. But I'm going to try a different spot tomorrow and see what it brings.
Hold tight with that thought. Guys, we're going to come right back and we're going to do an angler profile. What we'll do is we're going to do an angler profile for one of our buddies. And then take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll let Jerry start off on what he's learned the past 2 days and what he's going to try to figure out the next couple.
God, I was 4 years old. Mom would take us catfishing, so that was the beginning. My favorite technique is sight fishing. Absolutely. Finesse would be my second choice. And my favorite fisherman as far as like kayak and then professional level, the kayak, Mike McKinstry dude, you got my ultimate respect. I had to do it the hard way myself, and I just respect all the risk you took. Congrats. Rick Klun, you're the swamp master, and you and I are cut from the same cloth, so Rick Klun on the pro level. My least favorite fishing technique, deep water. It's something that I still got to get more appropriate with in my applications. My greatest accomplishment fishing. I've won a lot of tournaments. I'm very proud to be part of Feel Free. Very near and dear to my heart, beautiful company, people. Honestly, staying humble through it all, learning from other anglers and sharing with other anglers, I think that's the greatest accomplishment, is not shutting down. Well, fun day of fishing to me would be probably the late Doug Hannon. And I used to fish a lot with Doug, learned a lot from him, and we just had a blast. He's such a normal, everyday guy, so that would be fun. My favorite fishery. I like anything with water darn near, but swamps are special to me. Big bass, heavy, heavy cover. Gorilla fishing, that's my favorite.
Feel Free Kayaks. Paddle, pedal, or power. There's something for everyone. Dubro Fishing. Manufacture and design marine products, American-made plastics, and fishing gear. Westbrook Supply Company. Atlanta's best kayak company for all your paddling and fishing needs. Yak Gadget. American-made kayak fishing accessories and gear. Ace Adventure Resort, West Virginia's number one outdoor destination. Whitewater, zip lining, water park.
Hey guys, why don't you go like, subscribe, so we can see when you get notified or when you hit that like button. Just like what Nicholas Beltran did. Nicholas, buddy, appreciate you. We have 5-6 guys watching the show, appreciate you. Even got somebody over on Twitter taking a peek. So appreciate you all watching. Well, let's bring back on the guys and let's talk about We just talked a little bit about the past couple of days and our gear, what we're using. Now we're going to let Jerry run them with it a little bit more on what we have going on. Jonathan Cart, Ricky Banks, appreciate you guys chilling out with us and making some comments. Jerry,
yes, sir.
Floor is yours, buddy.
Well, yesterday I was fishing structure, wood structure, and I caught, you called when you were looking for this place, and I hadn't caught a fish yet. And right after, maybe I ought to have you call me tomorrow or Saturday during the tournament or something. But right after I got off the phone with you, I caught three fish on three consecutive casts. They were all off of, like I say, structure. Now, that structure might or might not have had some grass underneath it. But today, like I said, today was just I check another spot.
Scout.
Scout day for me. But I tried fishing, but I was even in between two big, like a gorge. And I thought, I'll be out of the wind, so I'm going to go try that. Well, lo and behold, the gorge turned into a wind funnel, so it just wasn't much for fishing, but it looked fishy as all get out. I mean, there's plenty of structure there. There's drops, there's riprap, just about anything you want to fish, it's there if you can stay on it long enough to fish it. But that's tomorrow's a different day, so I'm going to try another spot, and I think I might head further south tomorrow and see what's up down that way.
Cal?
Yeah, so I've been eliminating water like Jerry. The first spot I went to when we first got here, spot that I know and I've done well before there, I checked it out, but it was just too muddy. And usually with grass and mud, it's not the best thing to fish, in my opinion. I think it makes it a little bit too difficult, especially for fish that aren't used to mud. And so when they're buried up in that grass, around that grass, more often than not, they're going to miss your bait. The strike zone becomes a much smaller, a bunch of grass, and they can't see. So you want to try to find that cleaner water when you're fishing grass. But there's always exceptions to the rules. I'm not saying you can't catch fish, and I've had bites in there, but it's probably not a place that I feel comfortable fishing with. So I've been looking for that cleaner water. And today I found some... a little bit cleaner water today, but there wasn't as much grass. I was throwing a larger swim bait today over top of that grass, and I had about 17 or 18 inch bass come out from underneath that net, and all I did was just grab the tail of it and swam down with it. I just watched, and there's nothing I could do. Set the hook, comes right out of his mouth. And that kind of tells you that they're a little bit off. They're not eating that good. It was more of just a reaction strike. He just reached out and grabbed it. So I'm not sure if I'm going to pursue that area for this weekend. I have another area in mind that I went to that fish during Bassmaster event. It's a little bit of offshore and main lake point with some docks on it. And I could probably rotate between those two and to see when those fish will fire up. And try to maximize my opportunities on those areas by running back and forth until the schools fire up. But I could find something tomorrow when I'm fishing, or maybe Friday, and completely change my plans. You just got to keep your mind open. You can't get too focused on one thing, and you got to fish what you feel comfortable with.
That's the key. That really is, truer words could not be said. If you are not comfortable with your techniques and the waters that you're fishing, then your mind is not in it. I was fortunate enough. I went out and tested my new seat today. Okay, I'm about to mute these guys or they're going to blow us up. Paddle and fin guys are talking. We're going to have to mute them. But yeah, I took out that new seat today, and it was the first opportunity that I had to get to sit in that.
That's 360. It
sits up a lot higher. But so I'm in the new lure 11.5 that I haven't been in 11.5 in 5 years. Hey, Philip and Sierra, thanks for chatting with us. And we thank you for the love and the wishes for good luck. Trust me when I say we'll take anything and everything you send to us.
Shout out to Philip while he's there for all the help he gave me setting that kayak up.
Well, yeah.
Setting up the Garmin. Late phone calls and late texts and stuff like that. He helped a lot.
Yeah, he even took one from me when I was calling him about wiring. but yeah, appreciate you. Verge, welcome to the team. We'll see you here in about 45 minutes, Big Daddy. Thanks for chilling in and watching the rest of the year. But yeah, that new seat, it's just so much higher than the gravity seat that my 260-pound frame was a sail, and I was a little wary for my first hour or so out on the water.
That's how he said frame.
Yeah.
I feel like Robin Dangerfield. But yeah.
The office only.
Oh, man. Guys, stand by. We'll take a break while I go poison the chili.
Did you spin it clear around yet?
I did not spin it clear around. You know, for some reason, I must know how to use a paddle and stroke quite properly in my lure 11.5. Even in that high position, my boat didn't go spinning around. But I do have an EK180 on the back pushing it.
How you like that?
I like it.
It's a small unit.
It's gonna push that little it's gonna push that little crack well. I'm looking forward to seeing how fast it'll go tomorrow. Got to make a few more adjustments. I'm gonna move my throttle control. I have it too far down. That's the one thing that seat, you're sitting so high up that everything's so low. When you're down in that gravity seat, it was hand level, you know. So,
but I know you like it, and it's fine. Whatever's good, but that kayak's got to have the most stuff on a mini pack I've ever seen.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's decked out.
I've got a lot of stuff on. I don't know.
So, John, have you spun the seat? Have you used that
yes.
option yet?
Yes, I did spin the seat.
Oh, that's what's fine. That like?
It's great, and most of my experience with spinning the seat has been in my Big Fish 103. The first hour out there today, I did have the lever unlocked so I could move around and test it a little bit. But like I was telling you earlier, that I was tippy. And I was trying to get my sea legs and get everything right for the...
Well, you haven't been in a lure in a while either.
No, I haven't. It's been 5 years.
They're their own beast.
They're different. So yeah. I've been in my Moken. In the Moken, I sit right in. It's like I'm down in the water like a bathtub.
Mm-hmm. I've never been in a Moken, but so, I know this Dorado. I mean, if there was room, you could do a cartwheel in it, I think.
And, oh, you probably could.
Yeah, it's a trial somehow.
Philip gave us a little lover, a little fist bump and a thumbs up, so. But, so, that, again, and like we were saying here at the beginning of the show, all of us have been trying to break in our new boats, get our equipment set up, so that way when Saturday rolls around, we are dialed in and our total concentration is on fishing and not trying to figure out what we need to put stuff on our kayak.
A few technical difficulties.
Yeah, got to get those worked out. But our fourth... member of the group should be down Thursday night late.
Is he watching?
He's probably watching the show. If not, he's probably outside packing his truck, then unpacking it, and then packing it, and unpacking it, packing it.
Poor
but
guy.
I got to tell you.
If he is watching, tell him if he's got an extra anchor to bring it.
Yeah. And I actually did ask him to bring a gravity seat. But
that's one thing I didn't bring this trip. I've got an extra set of pedals if one of you guys needed an extra motor.
Did Jerry, did you notice something about our group chat? How his name went from Rick?
Yeah, the Salty Dog.
Salty Dog?
I don't know. He was getting kind of aggravated and Kyle called him out on it, I guess.
Well, hey. We tried to get Rick to come down here early, but yeah, a little too busy. He's playing in that snow up there in West Virginia.
Life has him. Life, he's real life has him. So.
Yeah. Life happens sometimes.
Yeah. But Rick, we are thinking about you, and we're looking forward to your safe travels down. So.
He probably won't miss it too much tonight once the chili kicks in. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for separate rooms.
You should be glad you're not here, because those boys stuck you in with me. And
it wasn't too loud last night. I only went through two sets of earplugs.
I mean, Rick can sleep on this couch. It's a fold-out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we found that out yesterday, didn't we? Jerry was moving around and slid the thing out, big old body. But, so guys, if you have any suggestions for Rick, Kyle, and myself, we would love to have them in the next 24 hours. And then after that, I think we got to go radio silent. But, you know, if you're in the area, and this is the other thing, guys, if you're already down in Huntsville, give us a shout out. Hit one of us three up, and we would be glad to meet with you for lunch, dinner, talk about fishing. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
That's what the KBF Ambassador Series is all about. And, you know, we are not unsocial, even though we are from the Mountain State. And we do have more than one, too. So.
Kyle is kind of, he goes in his room and just stays.
Oh, that's
shut
true.
The door and locks it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can be an introvert sometimes. You got to balance it. It takes a lot of energy to be with you all.
But we're going to take a quick break. We'll do another angle profile, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up our show.
I need to get you to do that before we get it.
Little technical difficulties, but we're going to get him rolling here soon.
Feel free kayaks. Paddle, pedal, or power. There's something for everyone. Dubro Fishing. Manufacture and design marine products, American-made plastics, and fishing gear. Westbrook Supply Company, Atlanta's best kayak company for all your paddling and fishing needs. Yak Gadget. American-made kayak fishing accessories and gear. Ace Adventure Resort, West Virginia's number one outdoor destination. Whitewater, zip lining, water park.
and look to feed a little bit, and but they'll go back probably a little bit shallower or a little bit deeper into that grass when it gets colder and rainy.
What do you think? I mean, it's crazy sometimes. You know, we've caught fish in 50-degree water with their heads sticking out of it in shallow water before. It's just a matter of what they want to do, and then you've got to figure it out. So
guys, what we're talking about here while we were muted was that we've got some weather patterns coming in that are crazy here in Alabama. It'll be warm the next couple of days, and it's going to be cold again and rain on Friday. And then Saturday, we're looking at another cold spell.
I mean, if it rains all day Friday, there could be people that find some backwater areas that are going to get muddied up. And they may not, you're not going to get a full day of pre-fishing on Friday. I don't remember when the cutoff is. But it's possible that if you don't go out on Friday and double check your spot, that it might get washed out. And you'll be left up a creek.
Yeah. The one thing that was mentioned, I think, maybe while we were muted, was that with the warmer spell, the buck bass may move up to assist in making beds or looking at the beds or protecting fry if there's already been a bed dropped. But the one thing that we have to realize, guys, is we can't win if we don't catch anything.
Sure.
So let's make sure if we can get 20 fish on the board.
How is that? The team's what? The best five from the team?
Yes.
Now, does it have to have one from each member, or is it?
No. The way I understood it was that one guy could catch all five. If all had five of his were the best five, that's the one they use.
So. Okay.
But hopefully we don't have to do that. Hopefully all four of us catch one big one each, and then somebody's got to pick up the bonus.
Well, we do have a plan in place, and that is go big or go home, right?
We're just going to make Rick do it all when he gets here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way it's going to work, I guarantee
you. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, there's also the individual
tournament
that we're all entered in as well on top of the team event. So, you know, if you get on them, you're helping the team and you're helping yourself.
Exactly.
You could have a 10 grand payday.
Right.
But you'd split some of them, wouldn't you, Jerry?
Probably not. Maybe John.
I love you too, big guy. Okay. Well, we've been on the live show here for about 35 minutes. I think we're going to start winding down because if you guys aren't doing anything here in about an hour, come over and catch us again. We are going to go live on the Feel Free Fishing Team podcast, and we're going to chat just about the same things here. Plus, we'll have more angler profiles from the Feel Free Fishing Team community, and we will have some of those guys come on and chat with us. So, anyway, final thoughts, Kyle?
Well, you know, I'm just, I know it sounds sappy, but I'm just glad that we got to put this team together, and it's a bunch of great dudes. I've been so fortunate to be accepted in this community. You know, I got into competitive fishing, you know, a few years ago, and it is the community. You know, I've been invited by some other people from other teams for us to all go out to eat and meet them.
That's right.
Have a good time, and that's what this is all about. We're a tight-knit community. Most of us care about each other, and we all want to see each other do well, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Amen.
Yep. I second that.
I really can't say, I don't think we can say anything better on that. So, this is the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. We want to wish you guys the very best. Stay safe, warm. West Virginia, I hope you're digging out of that snow that we saw today. Glad we worked there.